According to the official statement released by CENTCOM, who broke the news that he is dead now, he was a senior leader of the ISIS network structure in Syria, but specifically responsible for planning attacks on Europe and to build up the leadership structure, or I would say reconstruct the leadership structure of ISIS in Syria.
What do you know about his background?
Very little, unfortunately. We are now down to the really rather unknown figures, except for the absolute expert community in the area, of who these individuals are, because there have been quite a few leadership strikes in the past year against ISIS. Plus, as you can see, over the last couple of weeks, there is a heating up situation with Israel and Iran and the US striking each other. So there is quite a lot of hits going on at this point.
What were the circumstances of this killing, Hans?
According to publicly released information, the individual was in Deir ez-Zor province on his mobile phone, and that highlights also a particular aspect of how these, and he's killed by a drone strike, how these drone strikes are actually targeted. It is the mobile phone that kills you. That's what the drones horn into. That's what gets verified that you are the individual that you are. And that's when the hit is then released.
It's very interesting. You mentioned that he was responsible for, I guess, plotting in Europe. What do you know about that?
Well, ISIS has never given up the ambition to conduct strikes in Europe. Now, coordinating strikes in Europe have taken a different form from the traditional way we think about Al-Qaeda, or even in the early years of the Islamic State strikes, i.e. it's not about training individuals in the conflict zone, in this case Syria, sending them to Europe, and then conduct some very elaborate, complicated strike. It is more about using resources that are already there, i.e. individuals or cells that are willing to conduct strikes, and then helping them with your knowledge, with your training that you got in the conflict zone, i.e. encouraging them, guiding them through the preparations of an attack without them ever having to physically go to Syria.
So him being taken off the battlefield or taken off the scene, how does that impact safety and security from a terrorism perspective in Europe?
Well, it's good news, but by no means he is the only one who tries. Not only is ISIS in Syria trying, there is a track record of ISIS Khorasan province in Afghanistan trying to instruct individuals in Europe, in particular also in Germany, to conduct attacks. So it's good news, but as always with these strikes, it's only a temporary band-aid. Of course, now ISIS will have to find a new guy. Not everyone is capable of really doing this kind of coordination, training people over, or encouraging people over the phone. They will have to rebuild the networks with a different individual. It now is again become very clear to them that mobile phones are a dangerous issue, so they will back off. But this is a temporary relief, and that's why it's important to stay in the conflict regions and not leave, because these temporary reprieves are only possible because you have very detailed knowledge of the ground, and so that you can hit the right person, not just a person.
One of the things you've said to us repeatedly, and I think you mentioned it a few weeks ago when we spoke last, the last year or two, to the terrorism community, groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, it's been, as you mentioned, I think these are your words, a glorious time because of all of the changes, you know, the withdrawal of French forces in Mali, the situation in Afghanistan, and other things. It's been a glorious time for them, I think you said. So how does this change that view?
It's just one person. So this is a really good success that they were able to identify him, that they were able to take him out without any collateral damage, i.e. no civilians have been killed, including from reports on the ground. There was absolutely no one else killed but him. That shows that it's still possible. But we should not delude ourselves that the motivation has in any way, shape, or form diminished. Now, this is a hit, but they're not going to stop, so we mustn't stop.
You know, you mentioned ISIS has been losing leaders and seemingly fairly quickly. I guess, relatively speaking, when you look at the continuum of time, fairly quickly. And with those new leaders come inexperience, and they don't have the depth of the Rolodex and certainly don't have the experience of years behind them. How is this hindering the organization? The fact that they keep losing leaders and then putting perhaps less experienced or people who aren't very well known in these positions?
Well, of course, it takes time to train up or for someone to gain the experience and rebuild those networks. But very honestly, ISIS has been losing leaders in Syria exclusively. In other regions of the world, in particular in West Africa and the Sahel, as well as in Central Africa, the picture is a little bit different. So in the regions where the international community, the American forces, the Europeans are still engaged, things like this, i.e., continuous leadership attrition, are possible. In regions where we don't take an interest, there is no leadership attrition. And in my sense that I'm getting is that the center of gravity, including for Al-Qaeda as well as for ISIL, is moving away from the Middle East. If you look at the gigantic successes that both Al-Qaeda as well as the Islamic State in various provinces in Africa are having, it really begs the question, why do these organizations still need to identify themselves with a center in the Middle East, i.e. Syria and Iraq, rather than where their real success story is, in the northern half of the African continent?
That's Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project, GJ Green, WTOP News.